Great show today.
Well, certainly if you like entertainment, because there was plenty about Robin. You had a sex stat, which really got people's hearts started.
Which was very interesting to hear from you two, just saying.
No, whatever.
You talk about having massive sessions.
Yeah. You're going to hear from Marto what he reckons a marathon is.
Pretty funny.
A quickie's 2 minutes.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
That's
longer than
that.
Depends who you're with.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't know.
Okay.
What are
anyway,
we talking about?
Yeah.
There was other stuff on the show that was pretty good.
Yeah, Jarryd Hayne, how long is he going to last at the Gold Coast Titans? Plus, Best of Brisbane.
And we talked about those new travel ride-sharing app.
Yeah,
it's called Booba. It's a topless girl coming to fix you up.
You wish, Marto.
Anyway, it's a little expensive.
Wonderful idea.
Enjoy the catch-up.
Marto, Ed and Robin, lifting podcasting to new heights. Well, they're giving it a crack. Might need a hand from Height for Hire's reliable fleet of booms and scissor lifts. 1-800-heightforhire.com.au.
Okay, I'm a pretty big fan of Howard Stern, US shock jock.
Right.
And I often just check in and see what he's been doing because I really like his interviews. He kind of gets quite in-depth, probably much better than Oprah did. And he has recently, in the last couple of days, been talking to Lance Armstrong, as in disgraced cyclist. And there was a really interesting revelation from Lance where he was explaining to Howard that there was a moment where if he'd just taken that moment, his whole life would have changed direction.
The amazing thing is, after testicular cancer, if you hadn't gone back into racing, you never would have been caught. Because you never would have done another Tour de France.
Right.
And the guy who, you know, came forward and all that other stuff, because, you know, he was pressured into it, he comes forward. But you would never have known him if you had just retired after cancer.
Right. And I'll raise,
none of this would have happened.
I'll raise you one.
Go ahead.
You're right. And then I had a career from after cancer, so from 98 until 2005. And then I came back in 2008. Had I just stopped in 2005, it would have been over.
That's it.
So the comeback from 08, 09, and 10, and part of 11 was that bridge to the past.
Yeah.
And that's what made the story relevant. That's what made the authorities that gave them the you know, the possibility. It was the bridge. And legally, it was the bridge.
Right.
Publicly, it was the bridge.
So if he'd known when to stop, if he just retired...
Can I just correct that? That's actually incorrect.
Why?
It wasn't straight after he had testicular cancer.
No. He said he came back and then he retired
and then he
came back again.
He won a few after he won testicular cancer. Then he had a break of 3 years and it's when he came back then.
I know, but if
but
you just know...
Howard Stern had it incorrect.
If he'd just known the moment when to say enough's enough, he may not be ending up with the US government trying to sue him for $100 million, which is happening in November.
Ooh. Did they ever give him a refund on all the money he raised for cancer?
Can I give you a figure? Live Strong, his foundation, was at last check in 15 years, it raised over $500 million.
Does the government give him a refund on that, perhaps?
What do you mean? He was a drug cheat.
In a sport where... How many kilometres have you ridden lately?
I haven't 3,200 kilometres. But that doesn't mean that I'd support a drug cheat.
Whoa, what's more important? What's more important, a few silly cyclists taking drugs or some bloke making $500 million? $500 million.
Yeah, but you can't... Okay,
are you one of these Lance haters? Can't you let it go?
I'm not a Lance hater, but I also think that the guy did the wrong thing and we can't advocate for someone who, I agree, he's
who
done
made
amazing
$500 million.
Things
Remember,
for
put
charities.
That one up there.
Yeah, I know that, but it's not either or. Like, he's the one saying he recognises that he's done the wrong thing.
That's fine.
So,
but why is he going to get sued at $100 million? Can't he just be allowed? Hasn't he lost everything already? A bloke who made $500 million.
Okay, so why are they suing him and who is suing him?
The federal government. Well, didn't Howard tell you? The federal government's suing him for $100 million because he was riding for the U.S. Postal Service and they feel affronted that they had a doping guy riding on a U.S. Postal. How many of their posties would be stoners anyway?
You can't advocate.
What about if I'm a postie and I got picked up for, you know, ICE or something or other? If I'm
He'd
in the
lose
States.
His job.
Yeah.
In the same way that
Lance has
Lance
lost
Armstrong.
His job. What do you want to keep going him for? Why does anyone want to keep going him? He was such a wonderful... I love it. I should have told you before you started this. I love Lance Armstrong.
So do I.
Really?
I forgot Ed did too, yeah.
Why do you love... Same reasons?
His job was to win the Tour de France. At the time that he was racing... Oh, so I'll start with a question. Name me two other Tour de France winners, Robin, apart from Lance Armstrong.
I can't.
If he was exactly. still racing today, the Tour de France
yeah, but
would still
how many? No. But I would challenge that and say to you that how many would I have been able? I probably wouldn't have even known Lance Armstrong's name
so
if it
like
wasn't
you,
for the fact that he did the drug cheating.
You have no interest in cycling at all.
Of course I don't, but I do I have do. An interest as a parent looking at kids who are going to go into sports that we are completely endorsing someone who's a drug cheat.
But
sorry,
if you
I
are,
do.
But if you're endorsing your son to go and become a professional cyclist, then at the time his job was to win the Tour de France. And
at all costs.
And that's what the US Postal Service team wanted him to do, win.
At all costs.
Yeah. Oh, God, but yeah, that's sport.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And just to go back now in this sort of revisionist, in the world that we live in now where Oprah gets a, I mean, whatever she wants, a teary confession or whatever it is that she wants.
Yeah, but that was
the
his amount choice.
Of, but the amount of self-serving people that have jumped on afterwards to lay into Lance Armstrong is absolutely ridiculous. There are so many people who have won sporting events and other events, you know, on whatever you want to call them, performance enhancing drugs that have no one's ever heard of. And it's cycling. In that time, in cycling, that's what it took to be the very best.
That does not make it right. I'm sorry. I can't ever stand here and advocate that we want to have...
You don't understand the sport.
But it's got nothing to do with understanding the sport and everything.
It does.
No, it doesn't. It's got to do with a guy who has openly admitted and said he's done the wrong things.
He was forced into that. And none of the other cyclists around his time... I've read Tyler Hamilton's book. I've read the reports. As much as you can read and see about this, I have. And it's all about people just essentially trying to save themselves and all turning around and saying, Lance is the worst guy ever. And he's just not. And
that's so Ben Johnson, is he okay too?
Ben Johnson. Well, okay. Well, do you think Carl Lewis was on it? Six out of the eight.
Yeah, six out of the eight were on drugs.
So?
And Carl Lewis has got the biggest cloud of suspicion.
Don't say
over
Carl Lewis's name.
They threw out a positive. They threw out, what was it, 500 positive tests from the, or was it slightly less than that, from the American team that they went back and retested before the Los Angeles Olympic Games?
What happened?
You just can't live in this
don't
world.
Don't get
Rob.
Us started on this. We actually talk about.
Clearly.
What about the Jamaican? How many members of the Jamaican sprint team? Anyway, let's not go there because
exactly.
there'll be one very, very large name in
right.
a few years' time. Oh, all right. You're saying.
It doesn't make it right.
What are you saying?
You know what I'm
saying? Everyone
I'm
knows what he's saying.
Yeah. The fastest of them all.
All I'm saying is that it's, and Victor Conti, C-O-N-T-I or E, I can never remember, he's the guy to listen to about this. When a place that has, what is it, 1 million people in the world, has 8 of the top 12 sprinters in the world, maybe some questions need to be asked.
Yep.
Okay.
We haven't got time here to go through.
No, we don't.
It's
much to agree.
Don't rely on Howard Stern to unveil anything.
No. I just won't ever agree that drugs is the way to go in sport.
That's
not
okay.
Here, not now,
not
ever.
Not now it's not, but at one stage it was.
Okay, so I'm going to make a massive presumption here, but because I'm the only single one amongst us, quite possibly the only person not getting any, you know, special cuddles, rumpy pumpy sex, whatever you want to call it.
Is that what we're talking about?
Okay, yeah. So... there's a new study that's been released that says a night of passion in the bedroom can boost someone's performance at the office by a massive 5%.
On one of these surveys,
Yeah. Well, it's saying that it actually is a real thing and the effects can last for 24 hours.
What was the first bit, though?
What do you mean?
What does it say? Say the first words, a massive night or something like
that. A massive night of passion in the bedroom can boost someone's performance in the office
What's
by
5%. Massive?
Well, okay, you just deliver. Just get involved.
Get the job done or
get the
massive,
job done.
Massive?
No, get the job done.
Like old school massive?
No,
or
because
just...
it's the release of the hormone. So you actually don't have to have a night of unbridled passion. You just have to release the hormone and that can happen from like a 2 minute quickie.
I'm excited to know what you think old school massive is, Marto.
Yeah.
What was old school? What's
That's
old school
question.
Massive?
Spotlight, Marto.
Oh, no, I think the laugh says it all.
Yeah, right.
You don't need to show off about that sort of stuff.
The old school massive.
Old school massive. You know, when you get home, you know.
No, we don't.
Go on.
Come on.
So you get home?
Come on, Marto.
No. Yeah, old school massive. Well, more than 8 minutes. That's what I'm saying.
Is that from
that's new massive. Benchmark? Is it 8 minutes?
Is that from when you get in the door, like from when you actually walk in the door?
Yeah, and you get yourself have a sip of a drink. You don't need the whole drink, and then you're away.
Sip of a drink,
and then you look at your watch next to you. Go, whoa, that's been eight.
So you've come in the door, grabbed yourself a Lucozade, hit a bit
just
of Marvin Gaye.
This could be a massive session.
Strap
come
yourself
off to
in
the room.
This is going for 10 minutes.
Eight.
Eight. Don't even turn the telly
on. No, it's got to be 10 for it to be massive, mate.
Okay, Ed, where are you sitting on the 8-10 massive mark?
What's massive?
Well, you've got to remember that my wife is pregnant at the moment.
Is that good or bad?
It can be good.
Yeah, it's sort of, she was reading about this in bed the other night and she was saying, oh, you know, some people, she said, oh, I'm just reading about the, you know, what happens to women's desires during pregnancy. And Robin, you've had 3 children. When you were pregnant, were you more interested or less interested?
It depended when it was in the pregnancy, but certainly up until, after the morning sickness, so after the 3-month mark and before, say, the 7.5, 8-month mark where you become like a beached whale.
Before that, you're up for massive sessions.
Before that, you were probably in that kick zone about now, I'm suggesting, Ed.
She's still feeling quite nauseous, which I said the other day, I'd made a nice dinner. I was being the best husband in Australia and we got into bed and I went over to give her a kiss and she said, if you touch me, I'll throw up on you.
See?
That too will pass, Ed, I promise.
And I said, is it my face or is it just your general nausea or have we reached a point in our relationship here? And she said, no, I think it's the baby. I think it's the baby. Let's hope.
That'll knock a massive session on the head. Vomit everywhere.
The other one that's really bad is that when you're trying to induce labour, that is quite possibly the greatest thing that brings on a baby. Well, Robin, and I tell you.
Robin.
Yeah.
Welcome to Triple M. Yes. Before you go on, you should know that a man got a 2-week suspension in Adelaide for exactly that. This discussion.
But he used some more vivid terms, would you say?
What?
I would say yes.
Yes.
We'll play it.
People say go for a walk or have a curry. He went down your track but used the anatomical terms.
Oh, dear.
And, yes.
It is actually a thing.
You want 2 weeks off, you go
there. No.
But, not the way he said it. Marto and Robin.
I'll be quiet.
It's the new Triple M.
Triple M Drive Show in the afternoon from 3 till 6. How good is that?
It's really good.
It's such a contrast. I love it when people just ring in and say, hey, listen, there's a traffic problem, whatever. You're actually, it's real. It's based in Brisbane. And I was listening the other day. They're doing a great job.
With Luke Dobbo.
I was listening to Dobbo the other day, and he's been a mate of ours for a fair while. He was talking about, did you hear the day he was talking about toothpaste? He'd never used toothpaste, doesn't believe in it. He uses floss and everything else. Yeah. I thought, that's a bit strange, Dobbo. And then I thought, hold on, what I've got to bring up is that I've never used shampoo. I've never bought a bottle of shampoo in my whole life. In fact, I said to somebody I wanted on my gravestone, he washed his hair with soap.
I'm slightly gobsmacked.
What good is... Do you know I've never even seen conditioner? I don't know what it's used for.
Never seen it.
I've actually used shampoo in my life and thought it does no different to soap. Why do you need both?
Because they help your hair. Wow. Ed, are you an advocate of no shampoo and conditioner?
Well, hang on. I might start because he's got an incredible point. He's got a full head of hair. The whole time I've known you, I've never known your hair to be excessively oily or dry, or I've never seen you itch your scalp. And I have shampoo at my house, Robin, and Lord knows my wife spends some money on shampoo.
That's right. I see how many's in Kath's bar, I've showered downstairs at the rough bathroom, and there's a bar of soap.
In the boys' bathroom.
Well, yes. And Kath has her special shower, and it's just jarred and bottled up. There's stuff everywhere.
I don't only use shampoo and conditioner. I have so many treatments. And
treatments.
Sprays.
What do they all
and
do?
And lotions.
Is it a long hair thing, you reckon?
I was going to say the difference between you and I is that I have a whole lot more hair than you because mine's longer. But the problem I have with soap, and obviously when I've been camping and stuff, I've used soap to wash my hair. Yeah, absolutely. It dries it. It's like it strips the hair of all moisture and makes it really sticky outy.
No good.
No.
But you put a hat on and sweat for the day, all the moisture seems to get back into your
hair. No, but it'll snap your hair if you use it for too long. That's why I use all the fancy...
Are you sure or are you just reading the
ads? No. I've got really... Okay, I had my hair cut 2 days ago. Thanks for noticing.
Thanks for noticing. No one noticed mine either.
Looks good.
Anyway, the reason why it had to be all cut off was because it keeps snapping. And part of the thing
is... a thing?
That's a thing. Mine's stress-induced. And, because what happens is 6 to 12 months after a stressful event, it comes out in your hair. So you need I know. So you need to use lots of lotions and potions to try and stop it from
getting... I'm just thinking the lotions and potions are a big scam.
Okay. Here we go. Ed, are you on the scamming side of this argument?
I am. When my wife runs past me with a box that's arrived from a piece of internet shopping, and I say, "What's in there?" and she won't say.
From Strawberry Fields.
Loves her hair, doesn't she?
It's normally kerastasis or something for her
keratin.
Hair. But she has beautiful hair. But I believe that she would have it anyway. So, and I would like to know, 133353. Is shampoo a scam?
No,
is conditioner a scam?
It's a complete scam.
Put argan oil in it. Makes the world of difference.
What's that?
Argan oil.
What is it? What difference does it make?
It gives it moisturizer. Sucked in my head.
Argan oil. Bloke in Lord of the Rings?
I think so. 133353.
Even if you're a barber, a hairdresser, if you know anything about it, or you've got feedback. Maybe it made you go bald when you use shampoo.
Can I stir the pot very quickly? Mm. I used to shampoo without conditioning. Mm. I'm 26 and now I'm bald.
Shouldn't have shampooed.
Some very unfortunate genetics as well. But I mean,
if you'd soaped up,
you'd
still have hair.
CSI Motto.
Just revealed that Marto's never used shampoo before, reckons it's a scam.
And yet, getting to the bottom of the big issues, just want to find out, because otherwise we don't talk about this stuff, we'll never get any answers, because I think they're running an operation, all these shampoo companies, to go, you got to use it. And Brendan, you're lacking hair.
Yes.
And you shampooed every day.
I did. I think I OD'd on shampoo, mate.
Well, I don't think...
Because I wasn't using conditioner at the same time either, and I did it every day. That was the problem.
What does conditioner even do?
It softens it.
Yeah, it makes it softer. It was very dry.
Soap seems to sort the whole thing out. It's good enough for your body. It's good enough for your hair.
Hey, Terry of Morrowfield. What do you reckon about shampoo and soap?
Well, I use shampoo, but my husband's never used shampoo, and he has a full head of hair, and it's shiny out.
Does it smell?
Soft.
Smell all right?
No.
Yeah, mine too.
Does he use soap on it?
No.
He just uses water.
I don't think he uses soap. He just uses water, and I looked at it the other day, and it's actually really shiny.
Oh, there you go. Must brush it a lot, like a horse's coat.
He doesn't own a comb either, does he, Terry?
Oh, yeah, no, he's got a brush.
He's got a brush. Does he share it with the dog, that brush, Terry? All right, here we go. That's one for the shampoo.
Don't need to count. Let's just talk to people. Alan from Underwood.
Yes, mate.
Yeah, mate, what's the story? Do you use shampoo?
Yes, mate, I do, and I use conditioner.
Yeah, you reckon it's important?
Mate, I got long hair, so, yeah, the conditioner helps, makes it easier to get the brush through it, but the biggest advantage I've found is it makes my goatee really soft. So,
gotta have a soft goatee. Seriously.
Absolutely.
Goatee.
Are you in a relationship, Alan?
No.
Oh. Okay, there goes that theory.
How much food do you get?
No, you're right. It did work then, Robin. But I prefer to do my own thing when I want now, so I don't have any restrictions. So.
Right on. All right.
If he wants to stay another 10 minutes in the pokies room, he will.
Melinda of Aspley, tell us about the whole shampoo and soap thing. What do you reckon?
I don't use any of it. I haven't done for about 2.5 years now.
Whoa.
I was pretty horrified at the thought when I first saw a woman with very luscious, long, dark hair. Mm-hmm. And I asked her what she used on her hair, and she said she hadn't shampooed for 5 years. And it took me several years to pluck up courage to try it.
Yeah.
And my hair's in fantastic shape. My scalp is shiny. I don't use colourings and dyes and things, so I don't have that issue. But I'm a trainer. I sweat a lot. I sweat heaps, and I just wash it really, really vigorously with my fingers with water. And sometimes every few months I run a little bit of bicarb through, and then my hair goes all fluffy. And then, my hair's shiny, softer than it's ever been. Amazing.
Did you say there that you sweat a lot?
Yep.
I reckon that's the key.
That's very interesting, Melinda. My wife, Tiff, who has beautiful hair, she's also a professional fitness person, tiffxo.com, sign up. She
well done.
She often, her mother, who Madame, who looks incredible and has nice hair and she's 60, she always passed down the hint that not only does fitness keep you fit and, you know, you feel better, but she always said sweat's very good for your hair.
Can I
give you another little tip that relates to that? Yesterday I was putting some nails in. We were having trouble. There was some really hard wood. if you run the nail through your hair, there's enough oil to make it go in straight. We were bending a couple of nails on hardwood.
Great tip.
Incredible. Imagine how easy it is.
Wow. Imagine how easy it is in like Greece or Italy. You know,
oh my God. Gel, just blow on the nails and they go in.
Here's a good one though. Troy of Tambourine. Tell us about what you use instead of shampoo and conditioner.
He's going, hey, I used to hear back in the old days that the army used to use beer, but I don't know how true it is.
Okay. Beer
in the army.
Yeah.
Sounds all right, but you could have a shower, tip a bit on your head, have a swig.
I wouldn't have
That's just an excuse to take your beer into the shower. <That
one. laughs> Okay, anyone else got the beer? So beer's been thrown up as well.
I've heard that a lot before too, beer.
Yeah, I've heard beer. Milk is supposed to be another one.
Oh,
egg.
Milk. Oh, stop it.
Milk.
Got to be omelette head.
We have the poll results. They're in, Ed Cavalier.
Yeah, come on.
This is incredible as well. 88% of people say it is a bloody scam.
Yes.
With no.
They're with Marto.
This could bring a whole industry to its knees this segment.
Johnson & Johnson are shaking in their boots. Marto, Ed and Robin, the new Triple M.
Jared Hayne. He said, she said, he doesn't like me, she doesn't like me. What the hell is going on down at the Gold Coast? And the media gets involved. There's all sorts of lies and collusion. We better go right to one of the sources. What do they call him on Channel 9? NRL insider Dobbo, from the Triple M Afternoon Drive Show. How are you, mate?
Yeah, g'day, guys. It is a bit of a beat-up, and I've got to be honest with you. Here are the facts. Jared Hayne is not part of the senior playing group. He's been kicked out of the leadership group. He has had some off-field issues, and he's been fined by the playing group. He refused to pay the fines, and that has been leaked by somebody in the playing group. Now, what I can tell you is that Jared Hayne is on a contract, which has been well reported, for close to $1 million for last year and for 2017 rugby league season. Gee. He has an option with the Gold Coast Titans for 2018. But the option isn't for the club. The option is for Jared Hayne's choice. If Jared Hayne wants to stay at the Gold Coast Titans, that will be his choice. It will not be the Gold Coast Titans. Everybody's saying he's going to go to Parramatta. That's not true. He will deny it, but it is fact. He's had a meeting with the Sydney City Roosters to look at them. But there's no way an NRL-owned club is going to let Jared Hayne go to another club and pay half his money to get rid of him. So who wants to get rid of him? I can tell you the board don't, because you know what? He brings ticket sales. He brings ratings. They're talking about the Titans. The sponsors get on it. The coach, Neil Henry. That's my understanding. Neil Henry, he was not part of the decision to bring him there. It was a board-level decision, and I don't think he's happy at all and wants him out of there, but I don't see Jared Hayne going anywhere.
What about all these tweets? He's been twittering that everyone, the world's against him. You're allowed to do that if you're playing at a footy club?
If you're Gen Y, Marto, you can do what you want. You know that. They love it.
Okay, yeah, right. Him. Has it changed him when he had that baby?
Please, no. Right. No, Jared Hayne is Jared Hayne, mate.
Well, he's got a dream, Dobbo. His dream was to play in the NFL, and we all love that dream. I love that dream. And now his dream is to play at the Gold Coast Titans and do whatever he wants and not pay fines when the other players say that he shouldn't. I believe in that dream as well, Dobbo. And I'm sick of people like you and Marto saying that he should just be a good teammate and do what everyone else does. All right?
He's a classic. Right. He's another classic. Should be playing an individual sport. Go and play. Bugger off and play golf. That's what would suit you down to the tee.
Marto, I use the rugby union equivalent to James O'Connor.
Oh, don't do that. Dobbo, don't do that. Don't wave that red flag at the bull. You know what's going to happen. Jesus, mate.
Okay, so what? Okay, in your mind then, Dobbo, does that mean that this guy's going to personally go off the rails in the next couple of months and we'll be having a conversation about him like that in the future?
No, in all seriousness, Robin, I think Jared Hayne will stay. This is a beat-up deluxe. Yeah. He's going to stay there. No other club is going to give him a salary of close to $1 million a year. The Titans are an NRL club, so in the end, the NRL will overlook it. He's just an individual. He was not toxic, that's the wrong word, but these issues, they happen to Parramatta, and Parramatta do not want him back.
Dobbo, we'll listen to you this afternoon on the M's. Appreciate that, mate.
No dramas, guys.
Best. Marto, Ed and Robin's Best of Brisbane.
Yes, it is your chance to pick the best bakery in Brisbane. And you two, look at your little faces. You're covered in, what is that, vanilla slice from... Because, Robin, you brought in some treats, and they can only be called delicious treats, from Flour and Chocolate Bakery in Morningside. And joining us on the line is Kylie from Flour and Chocolate Bakery. Hello, Kylie.
Good morning, guys. How are you today?
Happy.
Oh, so happy, Kylie. Good. A really good, a wonderful friend of mine called Selma was walking past your bakery yesterday and knew how much Marto and I loved vanilla slices, so she went in and bought one, and Marto and I have just devoured it. Absolutely delicious.
Oh, thank you.
You know what you do, Kylie. I guess you do know what you do, but so many places when they're doing their vanilla slices will put icing on top to disguise that the custard isn't quite up to it, but you just put that sprinkle of, God, I sound like that fat guy off MasterChef. Sorry. It was bloody nice, Kylie.
Oh, I'm glad you enjoyed it. You guys need to try the sausage rolls next time.
Oh.
So I can drop some off for you, actually.
Okay, we'd love that too, Kylie. But you have a great story attached to how your bakery came to be. What is it?
We had been talking about running a business for quite some time, my husband Lachlan and myself, but obviously it's very expensive to get something sort of started up. So I was at home with my kids, so I was really young at that stage, and every day I'd enter the Today Show, you know, when they give you a call and you pick up, say...
I wake up with Today. We used to, my mother-in-law was doing that, Kylie, and we kept ringing her from the radio station.
Oh, no, that's just...
It's funny.
Torturous.
No, it's funny.
Hold on, what did she have to say, Ed, every day?
I wake up with Today.
Yeah.
I think my husband Lachlan did it to me a few times as well.
So what happened, Kylie?
So they actually did ring me one morning.
Good stuff.
Yeah, I was watching the TV and they said my name and I sort of just was completely stunned. And my youngest son at the time just literally ran over to pick up the phone. I'm like, no, don't pick that up.
Oh, God.
But, yeah, I won $20,000 from them, which is amazing.
Wow.
So, yeah, and we had the opportunity then. We had the money and we got the ball rolling and found a beautiful little spot at Morningside and started it up.
Well, we can absolutely advocate for your amazing products. But I will say that with the Best of Brisbane, you're only on 3%. You need to get your customers voting, okay?
No,
you need to get your people out there.
Have you got a website or anything like that?
We do. We've got Facebook. A website and we've got Facebook. I will get the ball rolling. And, our customers are wonderful. So I will spread the word. And, thank you very much for the opportunity, guys.
We're happy to spread the word as well. Kylie from Flour and Chocolate Bakery in Morningside. You can see the full list of all the bakeries. You might want to try one that you've never been to before and then vote for it, triplem.com.au.
Listen, I've been doing a bit of building work lately. Isn't it funny? Because I normally just talk to you guys about reality TV, but talking to blokes on building sites, one yesterday said, you watching the Jungle Show? Like just while we were nailing away, afternoon chat. I said, the celebrity one. He said, yeah. I said, no, I'm not. He said, it's pretty boring. I said, well, why are you still watching? He said, well, that's what I do at night time. I watch that one. And you know what he said to me? And I checked it out last night and he was spot on the mark. I went, right, I'm going to go home and watch the Jungle Show last night. He said, you know that funny woman? And I, mate.
Julia Morris.
That's the one. I finally got to it. I thought it was Lisa Curry for a while. or Casey Donovan. He said, the funny woman, he said, she's lost it. And I watched last night and it's sad. I know she's been dry humping Chris Brown's leg and that's part of her go.
She does call him the sexy doctor.
I know. And she carried, last time I saw it a few weeks ago, she was carrying on. She's still carrying on. All right. It's a syndrome. She's gone 1 year too long.
Oh, people do this in television. Yes.
When hosts go on, are just a little, 1 year too much. She's probably got, and Kath said, do not get into her because she's brilliant. And apparently she's brilliant in House Husbands.
Oh, she's wonderful.
Wonderful actress. But the thing is, on that show, obviously her heart's not in it and she's gone 1 year too long. Gretel Colleen, Big Brother, I'm just saying.
Just on that, a mate of mine is the director of that show.
Oh, sorry. Nothing personal.
No, not at all. He said that people start to go a bit loopy, that you're out there.
That's what she appeared to do last night.
You just start to get a little bit apocalypse now. But it's interesting that you're talking about TV hosts going on a little bit too long because it can happen. Robin, I think that you and I were talking about the Hey Hey It's Saturday experience. I mean,
Daryl Summers.
When they came back the second time, it was like, okay. But look, I always give respect to Daryl. He did 22 years of live television.
Yes.
That has to be respected. But, you know, Robin, sometimes it can happen sooner than you think. Did you ever see a show called Rugby 360?
Okay.
I wish I did. I've heard about this, Ed.
See, I shouldn't be hosting anything.
You're not, because they got rid of it. Yeah. That's the
No. Keep talking, Ed. Tell me.
One of the elderly hosts on that, he drove it into the ground after only 1 year, and mercifully they put up the screens, took it out the back, and put it down before the start of the
show. They shot it.
I don't want to talk about it.
The whole franchise
of 360 worked well with rugby league, with NRL 360 AFL. And AFL 360, and they just thought, let's have a go with rugby. Well, it only did. Ed's not telling many lies there.
Greg Martin, the original Julia
the
Morris.
The killer of 360.
Marto, Ed
Wish
and Robin.
Brought this up now.
The new Triple M.
Okay, I'm going to start this by saying I do not like the tone in the Courier Mail today about this article. It says, parents dump underage children on Uber drivers. Okay, I have to use Uber a whole lot more than I want to.
But it's brilliant, isn't it? Because you can track your kids.
Exactly right. But also, being a single parent, often when I have 20 sessions of soccer a week to get my kids to, if one of them is stuck, then the best way to do it is to put them in an Uber. And I had this situation only a couple of weeks ago on the Green Day musical opening night. Mm. I had to get in by a certain time.
You were on the source down there.
Well, I wasn't on the source. I was in the car getting there. Two of my kids had finished a school soccer game and were together. And then the youngest one was joining them. And the person that I'd organised to pick them up got lost and went to another part of Brisbane. What am I going to do? The entire school bus was leaving. My three kids are there by themselves. And one of them rang and said, Mum, is it okay if we get an Uber? And I said, absolutely. So then I'll know you'll get home.
So much better than using taxis in that sense.
In that scenario, because none of them had any money. So I couldn't book a cab because no one could pay for it. And so then I rang the head of football and said, look, it's okay, an Uber's coming. And he was fine with it. But it now turns out, which I didn't know, that you can't put anyone under the age of 18 in an Uber.
Says who?
Well, apparently that's the rule of Ubering.
I reckon I'd be over 100 times my kids over the last 3 years. Since when's Uber been around? 3 years? Jeez.
Yeah. Well, it's been legal for however long.
Getting home from parties and stuff, if they couldn't get a lift, I was never going to stay up until 11 o'clock, 11:30 and drive them home. Uber, and you know exactly where they are if you wanted to track
them. That's
right. When my daughter was overseas, still only 17, she used to use it. I'd get here to work some days and I'd go, Oh, Hilly's in Portugal. Like, I'd be away because she'd catch an Uber. She'd catch an Uber from the backpackers to wherever else she was going. I knew where she was.
Yeah.
And you're saying can't go under 18.
Is Uber being forced by law to say that they can't do that, or is this one of their own policies that they've decided, right, that's how we're going to implement that?
Well, apparently there are drivers who are now taking printed out forms to show parents. But here's the kicker. Under the policy of Uber, passengers are still getting, if they're denied a lift for whatever reason, they're still being slugged $10 for the trip cancellation. So in that situation where my kids were at a football field by themselves as it was turning into dark, and I'd booked an Uber thinking everything was okay, and an Uber driver turned up and said, sorry, I can't take them.
You still end up paying.
Absolutely.
And then you still got the same situation.
Yeah, and I've got the same situation where I actually can't get my children home. So
That other one? That mate of ours used to be on the show. Georgina McEncrow, all right, she started a thing called Sheba. Only female drivers. Remember we had a chat to her later last year.
Will she take kids under 18?
It started yesterday.
I wonder if she'll take kids under 18.
No, but hers is all females.
Oh, I've got boys.
For girls, if you're worried about things, if you're worried about hopping in a taxi or even an Uber, it's this whole new thing. Yeah, you can't unless you give them a wig.
Yeah, right. That'd really work.
That's your answer to everything.
You met my kids. I don't know.
There is no answer. I don't know what to do.
Well, you can't ask Uber. This is the thing. This is this new form of
companies. You can't ask Uber anything. You still got Uber?
I still got Uber. I was using it overseas as well. I still like the service, but this is the new model. You have a company that's based somewhere in the cloud somewhere that's got no one that works there locally that you can never call up and ask anything of. It's the same. Apple's iCloud stuff is the same. Uber's the same. They just want you to use the service and then be like, yep, we're the best and you can't ever touch us.
We're yelling into the wind. There won't be anything come of this or happen. It's just that's their policy. But individual drivers will just go, oh, that's all right. Some money.
I don't know. I've not ever had a problem I haven't had a problem, but I read it in the paper. And the taxis don't let you pay online nor track them.
Question without notice. No, I don't.
If they did,
yes.
Then they do.
there's something you can do with yellow cabs, I believe. I should have been better armed. I'm going to throw another one out that I bet we don't have the answer to. What happens if you get in an accident in an Uber car? Who pays the insurance? Where's the insurance come from? Because I know cabs are insured if you're a passenger and you get hurt. What happens in Uber?
I think the onus is on the driver.
I don't think so. I think they only cover themselves.
So shady. Many questions. So Absolutely. Many questions.
And
no answers.
And you'll never get an answer because you can't actually contact Uber.
Kevin from Virginia, what do you want to say about this?
Yeah, I was on listening to the Luke's early morning show, and they were talking about an app that's called Go Catch that runs the same as Uber, but a lot of the taxi cabs actually still use it so that they can still get fares outside of going the cab rank.
So they're still driving their cab, but they're getting their fares not through the call dispatcher.
That's correct, yes.
Wow, so if they own their own license, they can still do what they want to do.
Why can't you be an Uber driver in a cab?
I don't know.
Why can't you double up, Kev?
Like, Go Catch.
I'm driving around in my cab and someone wants Uber and I'm only 100 metres away. Why can't I pick them up? That happens in, where was I last year? Dublin. Got picked up by a cab when I ordered Uber.
Okay.
Thank you, Kevin.
Isn't that sensible?
Neil?
Yeah, that's sensible.
Neil from Redcliffe, you've got an idea as to why Uber can't just pick up what they call unaccompanied minors.
Yeah, I'm here going, guys.
Hey, mate.
Working with children, everyone that has the works with children have to have the blue card. And even if you drive cars, like picking up children as part of a bus service, you've still got to have a blue card to do anything with them. So if any of the Uber drivers don't have blue cards, it's probably Uber's way of getting around having any issues with it.
Yeah, sure. Okay, that would make sense. Thank you, Neil. Finally, let's go to Justin, who is a cab driver. Justin, what did you want to say, buddy?
Black and white and yellow, I know for a fact, have an app that you can actually download on your mobile phone, and you can track the driver, you can track the car. You actually, through black and white, you actually get a photo of the driver, and you can pay online via your credit card.
Now, Justin, that was one of my questions, and you've now answered it. Thank you very much. Is that a new service? No.
For black and white, it has been for a while. For yellow, I think it's been around for about 10 years.
Yeah.
I could be wrong about that. But
hey,
you've
got to pay by credit every time. The beauty of Uber, of course, is you give them your credit card once and it applies every time.
Yep, same with black and white, as far as I know, same with yellow. But I drive for black and white.
Yeah.
Also, with the blue card, every cab driver can pick up minors because as a cab driver, you've got a blue card.
There you go.
That is good.
Okay,
mate.
So can I just quickly ask, because I'm looking at my app store as we speak, is it just under yellow cab or black and white cab for the app?
Black and white cabs. Black and white cabs for the app.
Thank you very
or
much.
Or yellow cabs.
Or yellow cabs.
Yellow.
Yep.
Got the answer. It is the new Triple M.
Okay, just quickly, when you see the headline Imposter Foreign Doctor, I think to myself, okay, hang on, let's read on here, guys, because there was a guy that was in New South Wales, thankfully, not Queensland, who was treating patients in state hospitals and emergency departments for more than 10 years. Problem was, he wasn't a doctor.
I know.
He had stolen the accreditation, Robin, of another doctor and then come here and registered himself and was unchecked. No one caught it for over 10 years.
Where did you say he was from? What country?
He's from India.
Okay.
And now they've released a passport photo of the guy they believe is the fake doctor. And he's escaped.
How's he going?
He's escaped.
They haven't got him.
Oh, they've lost him.
We've got a fake doctor on the loose.
Not only is he a fake doctor, he's done his 10 years. I think he got long service leave and then just didn't come back. He's got the gold watch.
What was his job? What sort of doctoring was he doing? This is amazing.
They're saying that state hospitals and emergency departments, they're now trying to sort of... not be specific as to what he actually did, but there would be people looking at this photograph who would be like, that's our doctor. Or he was the guy that, I came in with a broken leg.
Stitched me up, fixed my leg up.
Stitched up my shoulder instead. And
oh, my God, could you imagine?
Yeah.
They're saying that the ways to tell that a doctor may not be a real doctor, you say, you have actually got the right to say, hey, listen, can I have a look at your qualifications, please? That there also needs to be now more stringent checks. But the best way to know if a doctor's real or not is if he walks in and says this.
Hi, everybody.
Just, you know. He's a bit sus.
Okay, I'm going to have a rant.
Please.
About traffic. I live in the western suburbs and I drive out to Ipswich a lot for my son's football. Okay, so I was coming through at about 3:15 yesterday afternoon. Coming through the western suburbs, getting on to the western freeway from the Toowong roundabout.
Nightmare.
Okay, it had already started. It was only back halfway to the Moggill Road between the roundabout and Moggill Road, but it had already started and it was shocking right through to the Fig Tree Pocket exit. You know where I'm talking about.
Now, I'll turn off at that Moggill Road exit. That's a nightmare. But one day I had to go to Toowoomba and I got caught there about 3:30.
Right. It's shocking. Okay.
Wicked.
Yeah. And so I went home and did some stuff and then I got back in the car and went out to Ipswich and I was pulling up at about 6:15 and Jace, the traffic guy, says that there's still delays at the Fig Tree Pocket exit on the Western Freeway with no accident.
Fig Tree Pocket exit's the one at the bottom of the hill. Yeah, and you turn left off the...
Why, people? Why is there problems there? Okay, because I know that it funnels out of Legacy Way and it goes from four lanes into two, but that happens way before the Moggill Road exit, and then it continues on two lanes and then it
Hold on, hold on.
Off.
Just analyse it properly. So there's three lanes come off the Toowong roundabout, correct?
Yes.
All right, then there's two come out of the tunnel.
Yes.
All of that, those five lanes end up getting into two lanes.
Yeah, I get that.
That's the problem.
I get that, but it clears miraculously, even though it is still two lanes, as you go over the Jindalee Bridge. It doesn't make sense.
How far do you reckon it is from where the tunnel comes out there, Ed, at the Toowong Cemetery? Would it be 5 kilometres to Jindalee Bridge?
Yeah, it would be. Yeah.
All right, so that takes 5 kilometres to sort five into two, five lanes to two. It takes 5 kilometres to sort it out.
That's not the only issue, right? I think there's another one at Anzac Avenue up at North Lakes, and I get that there's some funnelling going on.
Well, that's because you're funnelling two more lanes onto a freeway, the Bruce Highway, as you come into
city. I understand that bit, but there is still some inexplicably bad spots in Brisbane, and yes, I get the funnelling, but it still continues on, and it's ridiculous.
My bro used to say, Ed, because he'd work up here, so he'd come up early, he said if you don't get going on the M1, he'd have to head back down the coast each arvo. If you don't get to the 8 Mile Plains, you know, where the gateway comes, links in.
Yes.
If you don't get there by 2:30, you are gonski every afternoon. That's going home. 2:30. You've got to be there before 2:30, otherwise you're stuffed.
Okay,
isn't that how many on the gateway? Three lanes there. It's five or something on the M1, and that's eight lanes to go down into, well, now it's going to be three.
Three, yes.
We don't know what the answer is.
RJ from Christmead. Now, RJ, you're a tow truck driver, is that correct?
Yeah, for Springfield Lakes, mate. Yeah, mate, look, we're on the freeways and the motorways all the time, mate. We see it all the time. People can't merge, and people are very ignorant and rude and won't let people in, and it's like there's an invisible force field that they get to a certain point and they can't get any faster. Then they get past it, and all of a sudden they go, oh, the brain clicks in the gear and they take off, mate. I see it every day. It just comes down to they need to do the speed.
How do you teach people how to merge, though?
Mate, it's called common sense, and most people aren't born with it these days.
So, RJ, if you're on the road a lot, where else? Give me some other terrible spots around Brisbane.
Everywhere. Coming off the gateway, coming onto the Pacific Highway there. I've just come up the freeway this morning, and it's, whenever you've got traffic merging, people stop. It's like their brain slows down, and they go, oh, people are merging here. We've got to brake and go down 20 or 30 Ks. And it happens every single on-ramp that there is on the Pacific Highway or the motorways.
What happens in sophisticated places like LA that have these enormous road systems and an amazing number of people? Do they know how to merge?
You just wave your handgun out the window and somebody lets you in.
Is that seriously what happens?
Sometimes, but I've driven in Los Angeles and it's every man, woman and child for themselves. It's like close your eyes and see what happens. If you think it's bad here, in places where it's really bad. Like you've been on roads in Bali, haven't you? Anyone been on a road in Bali?
That works.
It's just like, we're just going to do this and everyone sort of honks and gets on with their day. But there's a lot of people that want to talk about this.
Do you want to find the bad spots? Because there'd be some shockers around Brisbane.
Bad spots and explanations as well.
Ian is from Narangbar. Ian, what would you like to nominate as Brisbane's traffic nightmare spot?
Nudgee northbound. You know what the Shell service station is?
What times?
What times, Ian?
Peak hour traffic in the afternoon from about 2 o'clock onwards. Friday's bad.
2 o'clock? Very.
Friday'd be awful.
Let's go through that, Ian. The reason is that, well, they are trying to widen it, and that'll be finished one day in the next century. it goes down, it's the same thing, four lanes into two.
That's correct, because you've got, well, you've got what they call the old Southern Cross Way.
Yep.
Merges, comes across, meets the gateway, and then gateway goes into two, then Southern Cross Way goes into one, then you've got three back into two underneath the bridge.
Even three into two. Yeah, it goes from four to three to two.
Two, that's correct.
There's your traffic jam every single afternoon. It's so depressing. If you drive along Nudgee Road, you look out onto that and you just go, you poor buggers. And you've got to do it. You've got to be on the road. You can't go anywhere else, can you, Ian?
No, you can't. And when you take the back street, especially when an accident happens, you've got nowhere else to go. So you sit there and wait.
I wonder how much that influences people choosing to go to the sunny coast for, like, holidays and weekends and stuff.
Yeah,
because you think Friday afternoon, coming back Sunday night.
I'd never go that way.
Yeah, well,
I'd always go one of the other roads out of Brisbane. Yeah, keep going. Matt from Jimboomba, what is it for you?
Yeah, just as the Western Freeway you mentioned earlier, like, we used to live in Springfield and I work various government departments in the city.
Yeah.
The bottleneck comes out of the Indooroopilly Shopping Centre space there. So on...
Where it
up from there. Yes. Yeah, Moggle Road, because you got they've introduced a tunnel to try and reduce the peak in the town, but you got two lanes there, two lanes in the roundabout. That runs quite smoothly, and as soon as you hit the on-ramp off Moggle Road, that's where it starts to choke up until everyone gets off at the lower exit.
Do you know, the other day, I was coming back from Chelmer across the old Indooroopilly Bridge, that roundabout, that big roundabout at Indooroopilly, that's a nightmare. That was choked up from the Western Freeway.
I reckon people get confused there. It can be somewhat confusing to know on your way in which lane you need to be on the way out. So people slow down a lot inside that actual roundabout to go, where do I need to be to get where I need to be on the way
confusion.
Out of there?
Are you talking about the one with the car yard in the middle of it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That causes problems. Oh, yeah. Mate.
And there's too many trees in the middle of that roundabout, I think.
Cut them down.
There is, because I want to be able to see. You should be able to see your way out on your way in.
But it's also because the shopping centre and there's exits and entries on that roundabout.
It
makes it tough.
If I'm trying to go to the food court and someone's trying to get home from work, there's going to be trouble. Glenn. Hello, Glenn. From Wynnum.
He's got a solution, haven't you, Glenn?
Yes. What is it, mate?
I've got a solution. Yeah, just teach them how to merge. The gateway's doing 100. Trying to exit on, and then people are trying to get on there doing 60 and 70, and it just eventually it all banks up. Queenslanders can't merge. I've been here nearly 20 years.
Where can they merge? Which, like, in terms of the best state for merging, what would it be?
Actually, Sydney's not too bad.
I was going to say, Sydney's pretty good.
Melbourne's not too bad.
Righto.
I did a lot of driving in Perth, never a problem over there. Queenslanders just don't understand the concept of, put your foot down and get in with the traffic.
Mm. Okay, we're going to have a merging. We're going to have a merging. Well, why wouldn't symposium. We have a merging school, and we'll get the Queensland Emerging Origin Squad to take it.
Oh, great stuff.
Marto, Robin, a friend of mine and a fantastic Brisbane comedian. We've had him on a couple of times, but because the Brisbane Comedy Festival is on at the moment, we've got to get him back in. You can go to comedy.com.au to get hold of some tickets, and you should to go and see Damien Power and his show Utopia, now in 3D. Hello, Damo.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Well, look, straight away off the top from your show, it's 3D. How is it in 3D, your show, Damien Power?
Well, look, obviously I will be in 3D. I won't be playing a projection of me. It's sort of about utopian ideas, like utopian idealized notions of society. I think technology is one of them.
Oh. Okay, right.
Yeah, well, technology, the idea that it's going to save the human race and connect us all. But I think, I don't know what you guys think about this, but I think phones and technology and social media could actually be dividing us.
Oh, hang on a second.
You're right.
Social media is not bringing people together? Power.
I know it's a revolutionary idea.
What do you mean?
Well, if you look at a phone, it's the first tool in human history that uses us, I think.
Ooh, wow.
Like every tool that we've ever had, a power drill, we use the drill.
And
like
put it vroom, down. Vroom.
Yeah, but if people were walking around with drills going vroom, 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 vroom. Oh, sorry, mate, I didn't see you bumping into them. Vroom, vroom.
Just drilled your head.
Turn your drills off in the movies. Vroom, 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 vroom. Sorry, I just thought my mum might need the drill. You know what I mean?
Like it's.
That's true, man.
It's nothing.
Hey, don't get one of those Samsung drills.
Yeah.
Don't get that one.
The batteries explode.
Coming out of the back.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, that point. don't, you know, that's not revolutionary. But if you told someone 30 years ago that everyone in human society would be walking around with a supercomputer in their pocket, with all of human knowledge on it, you would picture a utopia, wouldn't you? You'd picture a
utopia. Don't need to go to school anymore.
Exactly. Yeah. But the idea that someone would take that supercomputer and photograph their penis and send it to someone who doesn't want to see it is unfathomable. Like, you couldn't, no one predicted that.
But why is it only blokes? Is there any girls taking photos? I've done it, even sure.
Oh, yeah.
It's a very good question.
Oh, yes. As a mother of three sons who are teenagers and not bad looking, even if I do say myself.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
You bet.
Boob shot.
Yeah, you bet.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah. I mean,
what do they say back to a boob shot? Because let's say a girl sends them a boob shot. What do you say back to that?
Okay, now I should try and save my son's credibility about now because they'll be dying in the school bus.
It's not your sons. It's all boys.
It is all boys. They
ask,
get lots of...
Can you send me a phone?
No. They don't have to ask.
Oh.
What?
Oh.
Unsolicited.
Absolutely. Oh.
Do you know Damien?
I can't believe the world has changed this much.
this is only in the last few days.
Wasn't like that when I was a teenager, unfortunately.
All right, Damo, the show is going to be great. He's award-winning. He's absolutely fantastic. It's Damien Power's show, Utopia, now in 3D, comedy.com.au to go along. Can we have a double pass to give away, Damo, please?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Excellent work. If you want to go along and see Damien Power,
send us a photo.
Don't. Okay?
Yep.
Don't.
Good on you, mate. See you soon.
See you, guys.
Marto, Ed and Robin on the new Triple M.
I hate it when I get sucked into things, Robin, where I know what they're doing to me, but they still get me anyway. When I was a teenager, it was whenever McDonald's would make cheeseburgers ridiculously cheap, I would fall for it. I remember when they were 85 cents, Marto, and I ate 7 in a row.
Oh, that's so good.
Okay, what were you falling for?
And the next time they did it, because I didn't feel the best afterwards. And the next time they did it, when they were 90 cents or something, I did it again.
Oh, okay,
yeah, it
I
was
get
on the
you.
Gold
Friday.
Coast, and I did it again.
Is seven the record?
Yeah, I can't get past 7. It's
did
like
you take the pickle out or not?
Oh, mate, I'd eat 7 pickles. I love the pickles. We could be the cheeseburger duo. I'll eat your pickles, you can eat the burger.
Oh, everything's gone.
What a wonderful idea.
There's marriages based on lesser things.
There sure is. There's certainly radio shows based on lesser things. So I'm disappointed in myself, Marto, when I was my wife and I were watching TV. And we're flicking around the channels. It's a bit tough at the moment, Robin. Like nighttime telly, there's not heaps on that we're mad for.
If you're
right?
not passionate.
And A Current Affair got us. They bloody got us, and they got us with their all-time classics. So their all-time classics are Neighbours from Hell. Yeah, we all love that. When they rock up to a bloke's house and they stick a camera in his face and they go, Mr. Johnson, did you pour paint all over their fence? And then Mr. Johnson says, I've been asleep for a week. I don't know, right?
Just like that.
Tradesmen. Yeah. They love a dodgy tradesman. Dodgy plumber from hell.
Yeah, the plumber from hell. So, of course, I try not to get sucked in, but they got me with their all-time classic Yesterday.
Battlers versus Bludgers. Australia's new welfare suburbs. We name the areas with the highest unemployment rates, where families battle to find work, and reveal the doll havens where lazy Aussies go to retire early and live off the taxpayer.
Tiff and I were out of our chairs. Those bloody doll watchers. How they bloody dare. How bloody dare they. They get me every time.
Marto Ed and Robin on the new Triple M. Best.
Marto Ed and Robin's Best of Brisbane.
Best of Brisbane. It is the bakery edition and we've learned something. One of the wonderful perks of doing bakeries is that they're up when we're up. Not only that, that some of them, the champions at a Logan Village bakery, have taken the time to come into the studio. Good morning, Daz.
G'day, mate. How you going?
Well,
happy now.
Yeah, that's the answer, Robin.
You haven't seen both boxes, Zed. Now, in one of them are sausage rolls, pies, and what were those other things?
Smoky dogs.
Smoky
dogs. What's a smoky dog?
It's an American hot dog wrapped in pastry with cheese and bacon in it.
Oh, no.
You just jam the sauce straight down.
Yeah.
Ask you straight up while we're talking sauce. Free?
We used to do it free, but our council wouldn't let us do it anymore, so we're trying to bring it back in. So
what do you mean? God. Why did Logan City Council have a say about your sauce?
Well,
it's the health reason behind it. Like they say that it's got to be cleaned every time a person uses it. And
the nozzle. Sort of,
yeah.
Yeah, so, you go sticking one of them into a smoky dog.
Yeah. So we sort of opted off, and we do charge the sauce in the containers now, but we charge the least we can, just to cover the cost of it. Right. So yeah.
What's in that other box?
That's all pastries. There's fresh cream donuts, there's a tea cake, there's date roll, things that we sort of sell a lot of that people have. Traditional caramel tarts, like we actually still boil the caramel from start, so.
Man, where are you on the voting? I think
they're coming first. Or second.
No, second. You're second at the moment.
Yeah, and when you said yesterday that you didn't know much about us, I thought, if I bring some stuff in, at least you can try it.
Where are you?
Out at Logan Village on the way out to Yarrabilla and up towards Tambourine Mountain.
Righto.
Yeah, we've been there for 19 years.
Oh, you're not in the centre there. You're on the way out.
Yeah, we're just past the BP. Like, people know the area. We're just past the BP, so.
What's your favourite? As the baker who bakes it, what's your best bit?
Our pies would be my best bit. I toss between a cheese and bacon pie and a chunky pepper, which is one of our traditional pies. And our pepper pies, like they're really nice as well. So
how do you differentiate them? Like, what are your signals on top of your crosses?
We put snips in. Like for a curry pie, we put two snips, and for a pepper pie, we put pepper on it. And
this week, sprinkle on top.
Yeah, this week we made curry chicken pies, so we just put like two snips in and sesame seeds, which is our markings for it. So
sounds nice.
Yeah.
And what time did you get up this morning? That just makes us brekkie announcers feel better.
Well, I got up about 2 o'clock, but we have staff there from 9 o'clock last night. We started off as like a one-man operation, and now we've got like 17 staff.
Is it a family business?
It's a family business.
That's what I'm loving about this week. All the bakeries are so passionate.
Yeah, it's a family business, and a few years ago we let one of our first apprentices buy in as well, so there's two families now.
Wow.
So that gives us the option to still have holidays and bring the next generation, because all my children are working there, and like he's got a young family, so eventually his family will work there while they're going and doing uni and all that sort of stuff. So,
well, we're running out of time, Darren. Get to voting. Logan City. Logan Village.
Yeah, Logan Village family favourites.
I get confused because my sister used to own Logan City Funerals. Totally different business. Sorry.
Yeah, I hope we never put anyone there, though.
No.
I was going to say, they still bake stuff.
Yes, they do.
Hey, Daz, thank you so much. And you can jump on triplem.com.au to vote. But more importantly, go out and have a look at the bakeries that have been nominated, and then go out and try one. Go out and try one that you haven't tried before. If you're going past, go into Daz's bakery and get yourself a smoky dog.
Yeah, smoky dog.
Get a smoky dog. Jeez Louise, what a life. Thanks, Daz.
No worries. Thank you.